Hey, everybody. Welcome to Season 3 of Fearless Women Podcast. Thanks for joining us weekly as we bring you inspiring true stories from around the world. I'm Janice McDonald, your host and global champion for women. For more great stories, pick up a copy of my beautiful best-selling book, Fearless, Girls with Dreams, Women with Vision. It's available everywhere. Big shout out to our listeners from all around the globe, including USA, UK, Canada, France, Denmark. Hello. And so many more countries. Love, love, love having you joining us. I'm thinking about you and I hope you're doing all right out there. Well, my fearless expert today is Leah Guy. I'm super excited about this conversation. She has appeared on hundreds of top media outlets for her deep knowledge on meditation, the mind-body connection, energy medicine, and emotional and spiritual healing. We need this now. Hey, she is also the author of a new book, Overcoming Toxic Emotions, a practical guide to building better relationships with yourself and others. This book is for anyone wanting to have healthier and happier relationships. So it's for everyone. She has more than two decades of experience in private practice where she helps people transform their lives. I'm very excited for our conversation today. Welcome to the show, Leah Guy.
Thank you so much, Janice. Nice to be here.
All right. So your third book, it's a practical guide. So let's just jump right in. Why do we sometimes push people away, make excuses, distract ourselves with busyness? What's really going on?
Well, it's typically an avoidant pattern of looking at our own stuff, you know, so it's very easy to look outside of our lives, blame other people, manipulate situations, repeat old patterns, and all that really just serves to keep us away from what really needs attention within us. And that's often our old wounds, our negative false beliefs, our pain points that we've had since oftentimes since we were young people.
So we're carrying around a big bag of rocks of pain.
Yeah. Well, we all are. You know, it's the human condition. And unfortunately, most people weren't encouraged or supported or trained in how to process emotions, how to make sense of things. And of course, when we're little, we don't have the capacity to do that. So, you know, as we age and move forward in our life and get new perspective and have new relationships, we start to put this puzzle together and realize, something's a little bit off here, or this doesn't quite look or feel the way I thought it was going to. And then we don't have any tools to do anything about it. So I like to write in a very simplistic way to help people just apply techniques and efforts towards actually making change.
Well, writing simply is actually quite hard, but the messages are incredibly important. What are false belief patterns that you mentioned and how are they actively and actually impacting us?
Well, false beliefs are typically beliefs that we've taken on or absorbed from our environment, from our parents, from our family, from our culture, from our friend base when we were learning and developing. And what it is essentially, you know, accumulating all of these different ideas or beliefs of other peoples or other systems without ever questioning the truth of what is going on for us, whether that's how we feel or how we felt or validating our own experience, our own dreams and passions, our own lives. And so we just kind of fold in a lot of these ideas or beliefs into our operating system, into our brains, and then we function from that place. And that can be something like, you know, I'm not good enough, or I'm not tall enough to be a model, or I don't have what it takes to XYZ, or I can't quit my job because XYZ. And so there's all of these reasons that we have decided and just kind of taken on as truths that aren't truths. They're beliefs that we've inherited or absorbed or come to make ourselves believe.
And so untested and unexamined, they just form this operating system that has us moving forward, if I'm hearing you correctly, with an inaccurate picture. Is that right?
Right. We're sort of on autopilot with it. You know, it just kind of gets into our subconscious. We never question it. And often these things are detrimental to one's self-confidence, to one's sense of value and worth in their life, or what's possible for them to achieve. And it becomes very detrimental. You know, it creates that negative voice that often people have and sets up the system of self-sabotage.
So we think about, we've got the angel and devil on either shoulder, but we might also have the inner critic and on the other shoulder, the cheerleader. And if we're maybe giving too much time to the inner critic, that just sounds really kind of depressing.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people are struggling and depressed and, you know, have this internal battle all the time, whether we think of it as the devil and the angel or the inner critic or, you know, however you want to think about it. The reality is if we don't get to the truth of what's going on and use some kind of real techniques to heal, then we're just looping and making excuses and using those same belief patterns that have been set up that we can't change. And we're just stuck here. So, you know, it's really important to identify for ourselves, not only the piece about what I've taken on, absorbed and believed, but truly the who I am, you know, and it's a hard journey. It's hard work for a lot of us because we've been told who we are for so long. And again, people don't have the skills to do that necessarily.
And so the implications as well, if I'm understanding you correctly, is it's getting in the way of our overall wellness.
Right. So I talk a lot in my book about emotional imprints, and false beliefs are one of those emotional imprints. But we develop, you know, kind of an overall system, a matrix, if you will, around us, within us and through us that becomes our operating system. And that matrix is developed at such a young age according to the information that we've taken in, whether it's that certain glance from your mother or the way the tone and the voice of your father or what it means to be, you know, a five-year-old in the house of alcoholics, or if you don't feel safe, or what makes you feel nice, or whatever the messages are, we take in so much information. And so the truth is that most people as adults are still operating from that imprint, from that functioning of the matrix, and we're addicted to the pattern. We're comfortable in the pattern. We vibrate at a certain frequency within that pattern. And to break out of that and to have a new experience and to free ourselves, it takes a lot of conscious intention. And so for me, all the work of self healers and self help and the gurus and the big movement of spirituality and everything that's been happening in the past couple of decades, it's really distills down to trying to understand where we've come from, how to create a new system that we feel safe in, and what are the dynamics and the truth points within that system so that we can learn how to not only vibrate higher and differently, but that we feel safe and free, and that we have an unlimited possibility of thought, of feeling, of experience. And that is truly an awakening. The problem is that that's terrifying for most people. You know, most people have an inner experience of feeling like they're in a cage in some capacity, often it's self-worth or feelings of guilt or shame or fear. So it's terrifying. As much as we crave and want to feel free and to feel alive and to feel our purpose and connected to our passion and doing all the things that we want to do, that means operating outside of that comfortable imprint, that comfortable matrix zone that we've had most of our lives. And that is terrifying.
And that's even knowing that we may not be liking that person, but it's scary to venture. So you've written this amazing book and you have, you know, so many different approaches. Highlight something for us that would be practical and helpful that people may want to consider. They got to get the book to get them to learn so much more. And there's so much in there. But, you know, is there something you want to share that could, for somebody who might feel like, I'm ready to move into that scary place of discovery?
Sure. I think first off, just kind of following the flow of the book, the first idea is about breaking up with blame, meaning, you know, we have to look at where all this started. We have to look at our relationships with other people, how we were treated, how we felt, and, you know, the experiences that we've gone through, whether they were traumatic or, you know, just dramatic. But when we break up with blame, we release our focus and all of the energy from the mind connected to these external people and experiences. And we bring the focus and our mind and our energy to our inner selves. And when we do that, we're not letting everybody off the hook. We're not saying, oh, no problem, you know, what you did was fine. But we're attending to the feelings and the reality that's going on within us, regardless of why it happened. So this is where we are. This is where I am. This is where you are. And until we can acknowledge that, which is the first step in the book, acknowledge what the truth of that is, without making excuses for other people, without blaming other people, without rationalizing everything, but just truly focus on our inner world, our inner experience, then we're not going to get very far. So I would say that would be the first step. And it's a great big step.
But it's an exciting step, right, Leah? Like, that's the dream that you have for people to hey, start on the journey and take that step, because then you're going to have a more vibrant and satisfying life by enabling possibility.
Yes.
Okay. So you want to build better relationships, right? Everybody does. We want to. How are we going to do that? What do you want us to keep in mind?
Well, we certainly can't build better relationships outside of us until we have a better relationship within us. And that's why, you know, when we talk about self-help or self-healing, it is critically important, but it's not just about taking care of yourself, you know, in the superficial ways. It's really learning how to observe and tend to the pain and the discomfort and the inner critic that's going on within ourselves. So there's a lot of different routes to that. But I would say once we have a healthier relationship with ourselves, where we're not beating ourselves up and self-sabotaging, and, you know, reverting back to those pain points and that addiction to pain, once we have a sense of self-trust and self-confidence and steadiness within us, then we, you know, will reflect that in our relationships. And of course, one of the biggest things in relationships, which is terribly difficult for all of us, including myself, are healthy boundaries. And, you know, healthy boundaries, we could talk for 3 hours just about what healthy boundaries are, because again, we have this idea, the fears come up of I can't do this, or I'm going to be all alone if I set healthy boundaries. You know, all the internal voices come up that healthy boundaries aren't possible, but they are possible. And when we have them, it creates a safe container for each person to operate from, which ultimately creates deeper intimacy and more authenticity and a better way to relate and communicate. So I would say, you know, first having a better relationship with yourself, and then, you know, creating those boundaries for yourself once you know what you need and what you want, and then enter into a relationship. That would be some first steps.
This is incredibly inspiring. There's so much to talk about. Let's maybe step back a little bit. And, you know, this isn't your first book. This is your third book. So you've been a writer and you understand the creative process. And can you give us some tips for others, you know, as they're waiting for the muse, if they want to get their ideas onto the page? What is the approach that you take, Leah?
Don't wait. That's the low energy, defensive kind of weak position. You can't wait. I will tell you, I am not a writer. I don't feel like a writer. I don't feel like an author. I have something to say. And in the something to say, I'm compelled to say it. And it is a struggle. I'm a painter. I'm a musician. I'm an artist in many ways. I don't feel like a writer, but that doesn't mean I can't write. I'm telling you that to say it doesn't come naturally or easily for someone, for many of us, and for someone like me for sure. But you just have to sit down and do it. It's like, I remember when I opened my first retail store as a healing center and retail store. And the best piece of advice that someone ever gave me was, don't expect anyone to come in your door. You have to go out and pull them in your door and show them why they need to be in there. You know, let them know that you feel so good about what you've done, you need to share it. And it's the same way with writing and creating. We can't just wait for that inspiring moment, or after we have, you know, the coffee and the yoga and the sunlight's just right, and then we feel perfect, and then we have the flash of insight. It doesn't happen like that. You sit down and you write. That's what you do. And you do it because you have something to say. And if you don't have something to say, then you're probably not going to have anything to write. But if you've got something to say, then those words can come out on an audio recording, on the typewriter, on a pen and paper. They just need to come out. And so I do say, and most of the feedback I get about all of my books is they're very easy to read and relatable, because I don't go to any effort to try to make them sound any which way. I'm not trying to sound more spiritual. I'm not trying to sound smarter. I'm not trying to rhyme things or, you know, none of that's in there. I'm just trying to say what I want to say. And so I would just encourage anyone who has a desire or that feeling within them that they have a story or a message or an image or whatever it is, just sit down and put that down. That's all. It doesn't get any easier than that.
That's beautiful. Yeah, just get to it. One of the things you mentioned that I think is really helpful for people to hear, so you defined the other ways in which you're comfortable, you know, artistically and creatively, but not necessarily in terms of this label of author or writer. And yet you reframed it around, but I've got something to say, so I'm going to go up about my business and say it. So, you know, how can others give themselves permission to do what they need and want to do?
Well, this opens up another very large topic, because if we're not giving ourselves permission, then we're often abandoning ourselves. And self-abandonment is something we often do out of guilt and shame. That's a pattern that we've learned way back when to protect us, you know, or to make us somehow help us to survive or get our needs met. So I would say we have to go back and look at that. You know, the thing about healing work and self-development is that's different than, let's say, therapy, for example. I'm not suggesting that we always have to go back and look at the past, but if there's a recurring issue that's still at us, meaning we don't give ourselves permission, then that's information. You know, that just doesn't come out of anywhere. That information is tied to something, which, and the information is just, I have a little bit more work to do somewhere within myself, and it's up to me to investigate what that is. And so we just use that to say, even when we use terms like, I don't feel like it, or I don't feel inspired, or I don't have the energy, or what have you, like there's something behind that that is keeping you from the joy, the action, the permission, the what have you. So that's why I say it becomes a bigger topic, but that's the work, you know, and it's an ongoing process of work.
It's incredibly insightful. And this is such important work that you've been doing. Can you just go back earlier on in your career and give us a sense, Lee, of how this happened? How did you discover your joy and purpose in this work?
Well, I come to it from two different angles. When I was very young, I was always very interested in health and wellness and spirituality and the media. So I knew that I wanted to help people, and I knew I wanted to somehow get that help and message out to the world. But truthfully, then after that, you know, when I was coming out of college and so forth, I had gone through a lot of trauma in my life. And so, you know, a lot of people label someone like myself, the wounded healer, just coming to it by personal experience. And when I was seeking help for myself, there was a lot of different routes that I, you know, tried, including therapy and drugs and, you know, all kinds of different things to try to feel better and heal from the traumas. And then I discovered something that kind of resonated more with my interest in health and wellness and spirituality, which was energy healing and meditation and more of a spiritual kind of approach to life and to what's going on inside myself. And from that point forward, I just kept learning and studying and practicing and honing my gifts and skills, helping people, helping, you know, discover whether it's physical issues going on in the body or mental or emotional issues. And I've just always applied the health and wellness and spiritual interest in a variety of ways for people one-on-one and also in mass. So that's kind of how it came about. But there was an early knowing of, you know, I think there's a kind of a different route for me.
Mm-hmm. I'm supposed to be doing this work, if I'm hearing you. That's what you're saying. Yeah. So this is your latest book, but you, as you mentioned, you've written two others. Can you give us those titles as well?
Sure. The first is called The Fearless Path. And then I wrote A Spiritual Journal for Women, which is not just for women, it's for anyone, but that's the way the publisher wanted to market it. And then The Overcoming Toxic Emotions.
Yeah. I mean, these are so incredibly important. So now we know, you know, the books, and we've been listening to the expert. If they want to go on their own journey, aside from these remarkable resources, where else would you point people?
You mean to other people's works or books? Is that what you're referring to?
Or just like in general, like, because you've talked about meditation, energy healing, et cetera, you know, where would you say, if you're looking for additional resources, or if people want to start on this, you know, discovery, where, Leah, would you say, you know, think about this?
Yeah, well, that's tricky because everyone's so different in where they are in their life at the moment and their interests. But, you know, a resource like Insight Timer, I have some meditations on there and occasionally I teach on there, but they have courses and music and live streams. And, you know, it's a very well-rounded platform that I often refer people to. So that would be something nice. I know a lot of people are kind of hesitant about meditation even still. And, you know, I won't sit here and say I meditate half the day because I don't, but there's great value in learning how to meditate and what meditation really is and what it can do for you, not just for your mind, but also for the whole sense of self. So I would say a place like Insight Timer would be helpful. There's a lot of places that offer courses. You know, I guess what I would say is it's frustrating. And I know it's frustrating because, you know, I too have tried a million different therapies and techniques and teachers and so forth. And it can be frustrating that we feel, even in the world of holistic wellness, we feel everything's so separate, you know, and there's so much to offer. So I would just say to anyone to use your discernment and your best judgment with the teacher, the author, the, you know, the platform, whatever you choose, and make sure that it feels authentic and good, because a lot of people say a lot of words and a lot of it is kind of spiritual bypassing, if I may. So we have to be careful for that, because are we just looking for, you know, a daily little pep talk, or are we looking for substance, you know, and those two things are quite different.
Absolutely. So if we think about to go back to whether it's inner critic or, you know, the repetitive thoughts that are happening in our heads, you know, if they're not positive ones, they can certainly have some negative outcomes, as we're, you know, if we're saying things that aren't particularly lovely about ourselves or to ourselves. So what do you want to tell people who are maybe overwhelmed by negative repetitive thoughts?
Well, again, I would encourage people to really do the work to find out where those thoughts came from, because we weren't born with those thoughts. So we learned those thoughts. And where did they come from? And a very simple question that I like to ask myself and others is this true? And we have to be like little investigators, you know, is this really true? Or is this something that's attached to a very painful feeling that I have? I am not a fan of toxic positivity, of just, you know, repeating positive affirmations all day long and acting like everything's fine, because that's one, it's not effective to true healing. It's, I don't want to say that it's bad, because it's not bad, but we're not really, you know, we're not really targeting what's happening within us. It's much, much more therapeutic and much more effective when we can just acknowledge and be so brutally honest with ourselves and accept the way that we feel. And in that space of acceptance, then the pain and the, well, the pain, it has an opportunity to soften, to give us the information, and then to process and move out. Because now we're being attentive to it, we're being compassionate with it, we're being gentle with it, and now it has a place to go. If we just talk over it and say, everything's fine, we've changed nothing. And, you know, we're just kind of continuing to suppress our painful feelings. So I really want to encourage people to maybe ask that very simple question, is this really true? Or is this just something I believe? And if it is something I believe, why do I believe it? And start that process of that work.
Oh my gosh, Leah, this is just such a fascinating discussion with you. It is so practical, so helpful. Final question, what is your dream for the world?
That's a very big question.
It is indeed.
Yeah. My dream for the world. I think under the umbrella of health and wellness, I dream and hope that we can start to educate the masses about emotional health and mental health and really diminish the shame around those topics. Another dream that I have is just, you know, healthy, nutritious, life-affirming foods and content in places like our hospitals and schools and nursing homes, to really be more concerned about support rather than finances or the way things look in the world, so that each of us feel like we have a place here. You know, so many people that are lonely, so many people that are full of shame, so many people that are sick and dying and don't have the nutrition that they need, you know, and we have the resources to make all of that go away. And so my dream is that one day that becomes the most important thing.
That's a beautiful dream. And we're not surprised that you have two beautiful dreams and many more. And thank you for sharing those. What an absolutely inspiring conversation. See, I told you she's a remarkable woman. The new book is called Overcoming Toxic Emotions, a practical guide to building better relationships with yourself and others. Leah Guy, what an absolute pleasure having you on the show. Please promise that you will come back and keep us informed and keep telling us the things that we need to hear to ensure that we are going to remain unstuck and have a more vibrant and satisfying life. Will you come back?
I would love to. Thank you.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you again for an amazing conversation.
Thanks for listening. We want our community to grow. Tell your friends, follow us on Instagram, and sign up for our newsletter at fearlesswomenpodcast.com to get the early scoop. Thanks again to our amazing sponsors, BDC, Lockheed Martin, and Export Development Canada. Subscribe in Apple Podcasts or in your favorite app. And if you like what you hear, give us a 5-star rating. I'm Janice McDonald. Stay fearless. Thank you to Export Development Canada, the international risk experts, for your support of the Fearless Women Podcast. Supporting Canadian companies of all sizes succeed on the world stage, EDC takes your worries away and helps you grow your business with confidence. When your business has no borders, neither does your potential. Find out more at edc.ca/womenintrade. Thank you to BDC, the bank devoted exclusively to entrepreneurs, for your support of the Fearless Women Podcast. We love smart companies that want to amplify women's voices. For more information, go to bdc.ca/women.